Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplysafe.com/Adam. Well, I'll give you the trials and tribulations of our quick turnaround Nashville trip with a little road rage incident as well. We'll take some calls. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Foo Fighters, Chris Shiflett. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, curious and furious, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice is going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian. I get to make fun and bash gay people because I'm white, so you can't touch me. Yeah.
Must be nice.
Oh, man. I was in Nashville for like 28 hours or something like that. It's quite the odyssey. We were getting out of here, had to do a thing Tuesday morning at the Daily Wire. I had to do a Ben Shapiro show early Tuesday morning. So the plan was, what time are flights out on Monday?
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't Southwest, was it?
No, okay. No. But may have been.
And but you can't get the Nashville direct.
Yeah, there non-stop. Was... So there was flights, and there was this 3 o'clock flight that would have put us in at, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock or mm-hmm. something with the time difference or whatever it was. Enough time to get to the hotel, mm-hmm. get a little shut-eye yeah. in for the early call the next morning. But that flight was full. So sure. that left the 7 p.m. flight, which landed at, I don't know, 1.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And that didn't leave us a lot of turnaround time the next morning for what was a long day at the Daily Wire. But so be it. That was the flight we had. So Max Pata rolled over to my house, and so we jumped in my car. But first, we got the text and the news that the flight was delayed.
Yep.
So now we're what was already going to be get to your hotel room at 2, and I'll meet you in the lobby at 7:45. It was now turning into God knows when. That's the last flight we can get. Got delayed an hour. We didn't have any other info, although Chris did what Brian or Danny Two Sheets would have done, which mm-hmm. is he used his app, found the flight, and found... Because whenever I hear it's been delayed an hour, I think there's going to be another hour right. tacked onto that, especially with all the mishigash
yes.
with the Southwest and beyond. But he found out the flight was just leaving Mexico an hour late, and that was our plane.
Okay.
And, oh, the incoming plane. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so we figured it out. So we took off out there, and yes, we were about an hour late. And a lot of controversy with Delta of do you take the tram, the shuttle to the other part of the airport from Delta?
Oh, the teeny
they have
tiny
the remote
part.
Terminal.
Yeah, we've done
the
that.
Remote gates. I
they have
say.
The remote gate that's down at the end of the shoehorn,
that's
down
brutal.
In the international, yeah. and they're up front. So, which one? Got a lot of conflicting information. Mike was there. We got to get the shuttle. Then he calls and says, "We don't need the shuttle. We're taking off from here." Yeah. I don't know, Chris.
Yeah,
how did we figure that out?
So we're driving in. Adam, he's like, he's made peace that we'll get to the airport early because the game's on. He can get into the lounge.
Sure.
Let's just
try
relax at the airport. Yeah, yeah. And just hang mm-hmm. out for
go
a little bit.
Go on a soup
bit.
Tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're driving. August is already there, and he calls us saying, hey, the gate is actually at the Tom Bradley International part of the airport because Delta has like a remote station there. It takes about 15, 20 minutes like to get there when after you pass through security. So August is suggesting that we just go straight to Tom Bradley.
Okay.
And we just get in through there. We could skip bypass the shuttle. But there's no lounges in Tom Bradley.
I had built my world around the lounge. I had found out I have access to the lounge. This is a big deal. The flight's going to be delayed. So be it. I will hang out in the lounge. But no lounge.
No lounge.
So now I'm like...
And a bunch of foreign people. Strike one and two of them,
right? That's right. Right. Greasy, smelly, unwashed...
Swarthy.
SARS, COVID-ridden foreigners.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, well, let's just stop it short. We'll go in. We'll use the lounge and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So we park the car and then we get another call from August saying, hey... The gate's changed. Oh. It's now in the main part of the airport, right by the bar that he was at, Barney's Beanery. So, like, okay, things are coming up, Corolla.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you're back.
Blessing
the
winner.
Yeah,
that's
so now
right.
We can go to the lounge. So we get up there, and then Adam and August go to the lounge. And August says, just double check with the person with the computer. Just make sure that it is coming to this gate. Because it wasn't announced on our apps. It wasn't announced on the screen. But she said, I got info that it's coming to this gate. So you guys just stay
inside
here.
Horse. Okay.
Yeah.
So I go over there and I ask her. And there's another lady there too. And they both tell me, yeah, that inside info is true. You just stay here.
Then Mike and I get to the lounge and... the lady at the lounge goes, no, you're getting in the shuttle. It's up on the board. I can see it from here. Okay. And now a lot of controversy, but we're just going to power into the lounge and see how much cheese we can eat.
Chris, who did you get your info from again?
They're just there with the computers like at the front. I don't know what you call them, but the...
Oh, the ticketing agents?
The ticketing agents,
okay.
Yeah. But they're a help center. They weren't even... Like, they didn't have a gate for them. They were just, like, the Delta help center.
They'll
like,
typically have the info before it gets put on the board. You know, that's sometimes the last. So if the woman's just like, I see the board, it's like, yeah, I get inside info.
Yeah.
But how'd this pan out?
Well, not only did we take the lounge, leave the lounge and get into the shuttle, but the shuttle stopped because there was some taxiing going on. And
oh, sure, yeah.
I had the super obnoxious chick in the back going, come on, come on, come on, we're going to miss our flight.
That'll make
it
faster.
And she's just, it was all of it. But we ended up getting onto the flight. We ended up, landing about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, like 2.
2. Of course, the car service is long gone.
Oh, yeah. How you thumb it?
Like, hey, we were late, you know. So they do that thing. The car service world that you'd think would be a little more precise, I have found not that precise.
Especially when dealing with incoming aircraft.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Is
they
it not
can
late
look.
Often?
Yeah.
I don't know with the advent of the smartphone and computers. Seems like you could check and track all that stuff. But they were long gone. So then Mike got on the phone. It was about 2:15. And had this is all, you know, by the time we get to the hotel, by the time we check in, by the time we get to the room, and then, you know, the early call. I'm pretty much broken at this point. Yeah. I did do this, and we can circle back to Mike August. Mike August quietly today, all my years of travel with Mike, was thinking of you, Brian,
sure.
May have pulled off one of his most, that's a top five Mike August travel move.
Ooh.
You mean, wait, that could either mean most Mike August move or most impressive move for Mike August.
It's the most on brand for Mike August.
Okay. This doesn't bode well.
So I am so fucking done with the COVID and the lemon and the lime slices and why those cannot be put on an aircraft. Although you can get them at the Delta Lounge.
Yes.
It's just not safe to fly with them.
Right.
Everyone knows
at that altitude.
So I pack my own lemon juice now.
Smart.
I went to the fridge. And I got my own lemon juice. And then I did this. I looked at the bottom and said 4.25 ounces. Mm. And I was like, okay, what are the rules? Are we at 3.5? Are we 3.8? Are we 3.7? And it used to be, because this has happened to me many times, and this is where the science kicks into overdrive, when you have the toothpaste, it says 4.0 ounces on it, but it's 3.7 is the max. But the toothpaste is almost expired. Sure. Like it's way less.
Depleted.
There's nothing
it's
left.
Up
there's
at the
less than an ounce in this thing, and it's like, I don't care. Throw it away. Yeah. It says 4.0.
And this is 3.4 you can fly with.
Oh, 3.4.
Yeah.
So now
I do flaunting the rules.
I'm in my kitchen and I have this little
flouting
thing of lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
It says 4.25.
Oh boy.
I think to myself, and I shake it. It's less than half full. But I'm like, that doesn't matter to these fucking Neanderthals.
Yeah.
These Luddites are going to fucking try to get me to throw this shit away. So I start thinking, should I squeeze some of it into like a little clear container, travel container?
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, I'll catch myself and go, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what are we doing? I said, fuck it. It's less than half full. It says 4.2. I'm throwing it in my bag. I throw it in my bag. I sail right through.
Oh.
I give myself a nice order cocktail on the plane.
Okay.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Because you can.
How about a lemon wedge with that sweet pea? She's like, we're not able to.
No problem.
I know you're not.
I got you covered. Gave myself a little shot of love. I think Max Pata, I may have buffed out behind me.
Yeah.
What'd you want? You wanted some lemon squeeze?
Yeah.
Wow. You got the stuff?
Yeah. I got a vodka soda, and I thought, okay. I saw Adam squirting some lemon juice into his drink, and I thought, oh, he brought his lemon juice. Let's have him share the wealth here. So I ordered a vodka soda.
Spread
and
it around.
And then I tap Adam on the shoulder. I'm like, hey, man.
Sitting right behind me.
Yeah, I'm sitting right directly behind him. I'm like, hey, can I get a hit of that lemon?
You got the juice.
And then Adam turns around and hands me this. And it's a pack of True Lime crystallized lime powder.
Oh, that's the stuff they give you on the plane.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm in first class. I had to keep the hooch for the first class
that
customers.
That is fucked up.
It's fucking great. Yeah.
So I handed him the powdered lime.
Oh,
hey, better
God.
Than no lime, right?
Is it? Jesus.
I used it.
So Mike had
turned it inside out.
A nerving call with the folks that were supposed to send the car who'd forgotten all about it. You know, it's 2:30.
We're done.
Nashville. Nobody's around, and Mike's pissed, and I'm tired, and we got to get up
hungry.
At 7 in the morning, and blah, blah, blah. Now, the most Mike move, I'm curious everyone's take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Mike travels with a large size container of
box cutters.
Robitussin
beef jerky.
Cough syrup.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's the family size one.
For everybody.
You've seen the small ones mm-hmm. and the travel ones.
Right.
He travels with the big one.
Okay.
And that thing is full. And the last few times we've been traveling, his bag gets flagged. It gets pulled out. They have to undo it and they have to test it. They don't throw it away.
They don't because it's medicine?
They rub it on their gums?
Oh, again, you know, between going through clear with Sonny in Denver and he's 14, he's got to come out of line. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the rules really are. And I don't know that they know
Does
what
anyone?
The rules yeah. really are. I mean, I'm traveling with the 4.2 ounces
right.
of lemon. Mike's got the 13 ounces of Robitussin. It's unclear, but they're not going to throw it away. They're not going to make you drink it. They're going to test it. There must be some for medication or something like that.
Yeah, it is.
So, of course, Chris and I have to wait because
sure.
we're going through and Mike's getting his shit tested. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Last time we traveled, you had your shit tested. And then I thought, Mike, you don't have a hacking cough. Like, what's with the Robitussin all the time? And he's like, nah, but sometimes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, but do you
how bad does it get?
Enough for five people?
Do you use it? And he's like, nah, but I like to know it's there.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, Mike, then why don't you just get the small travel size?
Yeah, sure.
It's enough for 5 tablespoons if you're needed on the road. Or just get one of those travel containers and put it in the 4-ounce container, or the 3.5, so you can travel with it. And he's like, why?
Oh.
And I said,
so we could not
said,
do what we're doing right now.
Because they have an ounce thing. It's like you can't go over like 3.5 or 4 ounces. They'll flag you. And he goes, really?
Oh, my God.
When did that start?
That's on brand.
Around 2001.
Mike, that's all there is.
Yeah, I mean, same time start kind of box cutter.
I've had this thought 7,000 times about this, pouring it into that. I had to go. I said, Mike, you've heard me do my act on stage 25 times where I'm telling the story about my 7-ounce flask and having to dump half of it out and get it to 3.5. Well, what do you think all that stuff was? Like, I don't know. I'm not paying attention.
Oh, my God.
He was eating.
So, Mike, you're traveling with the family-sized jug of Robitussin. You don't need it, but you like to have it in case you might take a shot every fifth trip. And you've this whole thing about the ounces and too big and getting pulled out every time doesn't no bell went off about. And he's like, I thought they just had to check it because it was medicine or something. I was like,
how about just the efficiency of carrying the large bottle around when a small 1 ounce thing will do?
According to the New York Times, this rule has been in place since August of 2006.
Well, Mike is a pack animal, and as you know, he commandeers the carts.
Right.
So the extra weight, that's not true. A thing for him. It's really just ballast. He likes it. I think he feels like he has more control over the cart with a little extra weight down low, you know.
But I understand the Dumbo feather thing. You know, like, well, if I have it, then I can kind of trick my brain into thinking I'm fine. Trust me, I've done that with Xanax a million times on a plane. But he doesn't need enough for the whole plane.
Yeah, that's the absurd amount.
The point is these smaller travel containers that were 4 ounces or 3.5 and under, whatever. And just the fact that there was a regulation that you could not travel with more than that. That
for the past 15
years. All virgin words to Mike's ears. Who, by the way, has no plans of modifying this behavior at all. He's going out the jug of Robitussin that he does not use. Have you ever heard him cough or seen him take a hit off it?
Just one sneeze.
One glorious
out of nowhere.
One sees out of nowhere.
No one could have predicted.
I got another Mike. I'll skip ahead, but I do have another Mike August beef, and this is literally beef. And you guys tell me. We went to Bourbon Steakhouse.
But why Robitussin? It's so specific for cops. Why not NyQuil? Like, God forbid he gets a sniffle or you know what I mean, an ear problem. Like,
Brian,
it can solve somebody's
you've
problems.
Driven with August when he's not impaired on NyQuil. Do you want him on NyQuil and driving?
The substance, the liquid that was held within the 13-ounce container, neither here nor there to me. I'm not judging that. I don't know what his medication is. I don't know what he wants to use it for.
But he needs all of it.
But it's the size. It's the size of it.
He needs the jug.
We should just get him some travel. Don't they, when you go to the supermarket?
Yeah, we should go the other way and get him like a handle of Robitussin.
He practically has that. So just to skip ahead with the beef and the Mike August, you guys tell me. So we have a very long day. We do Daily Wire in the morning. We're there for about 5 hours. And then we end up at the Ryman Auditorium, which is storied. I don't know. We have pictures of the wall and the wall of Johnny Cash and Hank Williams and Minnie Pearl. And I mean, this place.
Adam Carolla. All the greats.
Yes.
All the country legends.
I mean, the story of the Ryman, it's about a 3,000 seater. It's right in the middle of Nashville.
Beautiful.
And it is old and storied. I think it used to be a church, but Dawson will brief us on
that. It opened as a church in 1892.
Wow.
Then from 1943 to 1974, it was the home of the Grand Ole Opry. Dolly Parton, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn, Hank Williams received 6 encores in one night. Bill Monroe, Patsy Cline. The live radio shows at the Grand Ole Opry featured Elvis Presley, Minnie Pearl, Hank Williams. Most episodes of the ABC variety series, The Johnny Cash Show, were recorded there. The birthplace of bluegrass.
Damn.
And included in the National Register of Historic Places in 1971, designated as a National Historic Landmark in 2001 for its pivotal role in popular country music.
It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. It was great going out on stage there. The place was sold out. They still left the pews.
It looks like a mega church. It's huge.
It does.
And it's considered the soul of Nashville.
The stained glass?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic going on stage there. And Minnie Pearl's real name, much more involved. Chris will find it. Minnie Pearl's real name.
Yeah, it's Sarah Ophelia Collie Cannon.
She got 4 names. Yeah. All right. So many pictures of dead people on the walls, and but a lot of history in that place, obviously. So it was a thrill to go out there. Played great set, great crowd. Everything was great. I don't know, Max, do you have any of that footage?
So the what happened was Jeremy, who co-founded the Daily Wire, he did a musical number, and that was a kind of a surprise. But the big surprise was actually Adam. Nobody knew in the audience knew that Adam was going to be there. They weren't even going to announce him. They just told him, as soon as the band's done, just walk out on stage. So we have some video of that.
That was my feeling. Like, they're like, walk out on stage when the band's done.
They're all warmed up now.
We'll bring the curtain. We'll draw the curtain closed, and then you just walk out on stage. And I was like, well, aren't they going to be confused? Like, they don't know I'm going to be here, and I don't know who knows who I am. I mean, I don't know who's going to recognize me.
What are they ostensibly there for? To see the band?
They're there for the big Daily Wire backstage extravaganza that they do once a year over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they're not even like announcing you when you come out.
No. So I'm sort of like, well, what do I do? And Mike's like, well, go up there and say, hi, I'm Johnny Cash. No, he said, hello, I'm Johnny Cash. No, he said, go out there and go, hi, I'm Adam Carolla, because otherwise it might just be a lot of people looking at you.
Was that guy? It's a big venue, too. Like, I'm looking from where the picture's taken. The balcony clearly, and it's like no idea who's up there.
Yeah, I don't like
no idea if anyone's up there.
This makes me very uncomfortable.
I never do, but we'll play you what happened when I walked out there.
Nope, here he goes. Cheers are still going. Storm thank
McDonald's
God.
McDonald's a ghost.
Hey,
standing.
Trying to get a better look at who it is.
The place went nuts.
I'm Adam Carolla. Wow.
All right.
Dude,
I got to the standing ovation. I just walked out there. I was like, they didn't know it was me. They must have put me up on the Jumbotron or something.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, good.
Nice.
This is a good way to get started. I was like, no one was doing stand up. It wasn't, I was like, I'm going to go out there and do stand up in front of this group that doesn't know I'm going to go out there and do stand up. And I don't know if they're in my demo, but I got a standing O just from walking out, which is crazy. So that felt good. The set was great. Everything was great. We'll circle back a little, but we did end up at Bourbon, the steakhouse, up on the top floor. We've been there a few times. They always treat us great. They throw out extra stuff for us. Everything is
top floor of what?
Wonderful. The hotel,
okay.
Sorry. In Nashville, is it the Marriott?
The JW Marriott.
Yeah, JW Marriott. And it's great. It's also great. It's great to eat and then go down three floors and go to your room and crash out. But a little controversy. They took care of us. Everything was fantastic. There was the chef made you these and that. But we're trying to figure out what we're eating. And at some point, Mike looks at me and he goes, how about we split the surf and turf? And I said, sounds good. Lobster and Wagyu, right?
Ooh,
it's
nice.
Like, I go, yeah, well, look, I've been traveling my ass off. Just crushed it that night at the theater.
Treat yourself,
couldn't
son.
Have gone any better. And we got to be in the lobby at 5:30.
Yeah.
I'm fucking treating myself. Yeah. So I guess, all right, so we'll split the surf and turf. And I go, okay. And Chris orders a steak, and we get all our stuff. And at some point, the plate shows up in front of me, and it's a smallish piece of beef with lots of pieces of lobster, size of smallish grapes, broken up, and a crazy hollandaise kind of cream cheese sauce, just a pile. Over the beef, over
like
the everything.
Gravy.
It's Nashville lobster.
And I was sort of like, well, it was good, but I was like, Mike, I thought we're splitting the surf and turf. He's like, yeah, this is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, he had the menu. And I was like, Mike, if you're going to say you want to split the surf, and I'm picturing a lobster tail
lobster
and
turf.
A piece
yeah.
of steak. And we're
going to,
not this pile of white that's on top of this plate right now, little bits of lobster. And he's like, well, that's the, you know, Mike does it. That's the way they do it. And I'm like,
Don't take their side.
It's fine. I'm just saying, give me the heads up. Don't just say surf and turf, because I'm not picturing this.
I do appreciate the lobster meat, you know what I mean? Because that's nice, and they do it for you. You're not fishing around this guy, anything wrestling with it, but the mayonnaise or cream cheese or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not like you're getting, here's your plate of lobster, here's your plate of steak. Like, how do you even split that?
Surf and turf.
Right.
This was turf and surf, and it was all put in a Cuisinart. And look, it was good.
That's not the point.
It's just not what I was thought I was ordering. Yeah. That's all. I feel like Mike should have given me a little heads up.
Well, that's how Mike does it.
That's how Mike
does
it.
He never heard of surf and turf.
Also, yeah. Just to go back to the...
Oh, topped with... Oh, you got it.
Oh.
Maine lobster bernays.
Bernays.
That's what did it. Yes.
Also, can we just please point out, because I don't think this gets enough attention, Adam, you are not meant to go in an airport lounge.
Mm-mm.
So if
that's
you,
true.
The second you give it up and you accept your fate, maybe you'll start to be let in. But if you keep dreaming about it, it's always going to be out of reach for you for some reason.
It's like Donnie Darko with the alternate universe.
Yes.
It's like the alternate timelines. Like, this is not supposed to be. We need to get back to the original. They're constantly trying to, the universe spiritually is constantly trying to push you out like a splinter in the finger of society.
This is your final destination. You're not supposed to get there.
I know. I ended up spending like 13 minutes in the lounge because soon as, but something I've never seen in a lounge is the chick who was guarding the door. It's always sold to me that you and a guest get in the lounge. You show the black card, you and a guest get in the lounge. Mm-hmm. It's never me and a guest. It's just me. And then they can pay $65. But she looked up at the screen and she's like, yeah, you guys got to hit that shuttle like 12 minutes. And then I was like, what about the guest? Well, he has to pay. And then she just looked at Mike and looked at me and looked at the screen and went, oh, go ahead.
Wow.
Like, how much cheese you're going to eat? And she didn't know.
Challenge accepted.
So
the ticketing agent gave Chris the wrong inside info?
Well, she gave Mike the wrong inside info.
And confirmed
it. And then I went to confirm it and then confirmed it with me.
That's brutal.
So they gave both the wrong stuff. Yeah. Right?
There's no, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah. So I actually went, I was getting nervous because it just wasn't changing and we were just minutes before boarding. And I went to a different ticketing agent and asked her, and she confirmed that we had to take the shuttle.
So it was crazy. And then we met down in the lobby at Nashville about 5:30, 5:45 this morning. Almost got into a fist fight with a construction worker when we were trying to drop Mike off at his car. Couldn't get the hell out of the parking lot with the ticket.
Here in L.A.
Yeah, here in L.A. Sorry, had to have the person come out who didn't speak any English and try to figure out how to feed it into the machine. Lots of controversy. I got that. Also, what else we got, Max Pato? What am I missing from this trip?
I mean, you didn't get bothered with the mask stuff a lot.
Oh, it was a zero. Yeah. The Delta flight on the way in and on the way out was kind of zero futzing with the mask. No conversations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's either a lot or a little or somewhere in between. This was a Atlanta-based flight crew, which I figure out where they're from. Watch out for the Seattle base, but the Atlanta base, no, didn't have a problem. And she felt bad because she ran out of the food for me and Mike in the back of first class.
Of course she did.
Because I don't think there's a new thing that's going on. Well, not new.
How do you run out? There's a fixed number of seats.
It's old. Well, okay. So here's how first class used to work, and it always drove me nuts. They would go, you'd take a first class wide body to New York, and first class was first class, like hot food, warm it up,
silverware.
The whole nine yards. And first class on like a 777, I don't know, could have been 30 seats. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty deep, or 747, like a wide body plane. And it would do, they would do the same thing. It would be, they would do it every time. They'd go, let's see. God, I made a note here of what I wanted to say. Oh, yeah. So they go, if you sat in the back of first class, you'd be reading the menu. They'd give you the menu and they go, well, they got the prime rib or they got the cold salmon salad. And you go, well, fuck that. I'm getting the prime rib, man. Well, guess what? Everyone else on that fucking plane is having that thought simultaneously. Like, I want the prime rib. I don't want the cold salmon salad. But they packed enough prime rib for 60% of people to get the prime rib and 30% to get their 40% to get the salad. But if the fucking, you get some carnivores on that plane and you're in the back of first class, by the time they get to you, I'll have the prime. The prime rib has been spoken for as it got to the back of first class. And we had that with the charcuterie box. today. The charcuterie platter. They were plumb out of charcuterie
by the time they got out of Lunchables?
They're out of Lunchables by the time they got to the back where Mike and I were in the second and last seat to be asked. We're in the back and to the left, and they were out of that. So instead, they just had the boxes. Now, the boxes are funny. I just love how people do their jobs. Like, the chicks were like, we got the boxes. Which one do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Which one do we have? Well, we have the Take Flight box, and we have the Keep It Grounded box. And Mike and I are going, yeah, but what's in the box? I've fucking memorized all the names of the fucking contents of the names. So she just looks at us, and she goes, you want the Take Flight box or you want Keep It Grounded box? I go, I have no idea.
What's
in the box? And then she goes, she had no idea what was in the box, which, it's that thing where you work somewhere and that's kind of all you do all day. Like, if I manage that, I'd be like, here's a box. Here's what I'd say. It's a fucking four-hour flight. Like, the first day the boxes came. It's a four-hour flight. You're in that jump seat for three. Here's each box. Commit to memory. What is inside of each box? There's only four items in each box. Fucking commit to it. So she went, I'll just give you both boxes.
All right.
So she just came back. It's like when you order the Wonder Mop and they go, act now and we'll throw in another one for free. It's like, oh, it's not worth anything.
Right.
There's no value to this box. She just handed a huge stack of boxes to me and Michael. Like, there you go. Like, the work of having to tell us what was in the box was more work than actually just handing us boxes.
The people are too close to their brands sometimes, especially when they're these big behemoth brands that have no identity whatsoever. Like, you'll get people, especially in this town, entertainment, go like, oh, that's an NBC show. Yeah. Or it's a CBS show. And you're like, how the fuck would anyone know that? Like, I have no fucking idea what any, you know, like Seinfeld was an NBC, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the average, or like, oh, that's a Paramount movie. Or it's a, you know, you can see it. It's a Fox movie.
We get it. You're an insider. What about the rest of us?
No one knows what that means. Yeah. Any movie could be from anywhere.
Well,
or then the nut box is the same. Or the
we just got the boxes. I just put them in my backpack because I figure if I break down or something, I can eat them on the way.
I'll take a wild stab. Some sort of like non-cracker crisp, like a Rye Crisp, some spreadable cheese.
Well,
some granola.
If birthday boy Ryan wants to run to my car at the other shop, they're in my backpack. Yeah, but hey,
all you can
eat. Celebrate how you celebrate. they're both in the back, so we can reach for those. All right, we'll figure that out. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe Wireless Outdoor Security Camera. Big news. Simply Safe just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. The system, U.S. News and World Report, named Best Home Security of 2021. Well, it just got better. Engineered with advanced tech and security features to help keep your family safe. Ultra-wide 140-degree field of view to keep watch over your entire yard. 1080p HD resolution, 8x zoom so you can see faces and critical evidence, license plate numbers and things like that. Built-in spotlight, two-way audio so you can scare off the would-be intruders. Simply Safe, it's easy to set up, just takes minutes, easy to remove, rechargeable battery. Doesn't even need an outlet. And to learn more, you can go to simplysafe.com/Adam. And they're celebrating the camera by offering 20% off your entire new system and your first month of monitoring service free when you enroll in interactive monitoring. So go to simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, quick break. We'll be back right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Tisdale, Saskatchewan. A 34-year-old man was charged with dangerous operation of an aircraft after landing his helicopter on a high school parking lot. So his passenger could go to Dairy Queen. Definitely not a Jew.
All right. Get you the contents of the box. We had a almost had to throw down on the road today on the way home. So
did August beat somebody on the side of the road again?
It was close. It got close. We were we landed. So we're out till 12:30. Then we by the way, it's not like we slept the night before.
No, you're on the plane.
So we're out till 12:30. We're meeting in the lobby at 5:30. Got on the flight. Everything was good except for the boxes.
We'll
landed.
Be the judge of that.
And I, you know,
This is all karma for you handing me a packet of lemon powder or lime powder.
Lime powder, bitch.
I agree. Oh. Yuck.
Hey, it's twice as much lime powder as you had at the beginning of that day.
I was grateful.
So. God.
Yeah, lemon was good going back too, bro.
Adam did the thing too, where like 15 minutes later, he's like, "All right, here's some lime." Like, I finished my drink.
It's done. How dare you?
Did I offer you the lemon?
Yeah, you did. You offered me a
lemon back.
And I had it, as I was giving my cup away to the lady to throw away.
So we're trying to get out of the parking lot at LAX, and of course I was just pushing the card into the thing, not the credit card, but the parking thing.
Yeah, ticket. Yeah,
and it was not having any of it. I wasn't me, I don't think, Max Pat. It wasn't taking the card.
I was looking at it too. It's just confusing. Like, where there are all these different slots and barcode scanners.
Right. And then they have
which way?
They have crazy Albanian chicks who like come by and she's like, "What is it?" And I'm like, I don't know. And she they always do the give me the card, and then they try to push it through and then it doesn't
They're
do anything.
Confused.
And then at some point she's gotta get on the phone.
Yeah,
I don't know what we need her for. If all she's got to do is get on the phone.
Yeah, she clicks the help button and then someone, like an attendant on the, like a speaker.
Can't we deputize her? You know what I mean? Like, she's on the ground.
Yeah.
Can't she make a business decision there? Take a credit card, figure something out. So she's on there and she's trying to read the card. And of course, she's got her dates all fucked up. She can't figure out if we've been there for 2 days or a month in 2 days because she doesn't know what month we're in. She's reporting back to the guy where this is September.
These are dark days.
Mike's in the back. Like, that'd be $14,000 because I got his credit card at this point. She's on the phone.
Hand over the deed of the car.
Right. The deed.
That's right. So, the title, the notice.
What, you
heard
the kit? Yeah.
So she's on the phone with another guy, and that's a rigmarole. And I'm like, I'm going off of fumes at this point. Mike's in the back. Chris is in the front. Mike's in the back because we're going to drop him off. Now, Mike is parked at the remote parking place with the unnecessary left turn arrow that never changes. So as you guys know, protocol, I don't turn left into that. I just go right down Sentinel or whatever century. I drop him off on the corner at the light, and he walks across, and I
You don't even bother to take him to his destination?
He probably slowed the
car
down.
Let him walk. Yeah. So now there's this thing, and I'll try to explain it. When you're leaving the airport, you're driving down Century, I guess. It's like the main street that goes to the airport. If you get to the light with the crazy unnecessary left turn arrow. By the way, it's the longest, straightest piece of highway on the planet.
You can see
can't
the horizon.
We just deputize people to turn left when they can turn left, like they do whatever? Okay. So I'm like, I'm not going to wait at that. I'm a conscientious objector. I'm not waiting at that fucking light. So instead, if you go left, you'll go to the parking. You go to the hotel and the parking. But the street goes, you can turn right on it too, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just goes right to the construction area. Okay. There's a little turnaround alcove where they have to sort of bivouac with the construction. They're doing all this construction and they need a place to park the trucks and drop off the equipment and supplies. And so they take this staging type area.
Sure.
So no human being driving down Century is turning right. Because the only people turning right are people, construction people, and there's nobody around.
Right.
And everyone has been to the airport, is going to the parking, they're all turning left. So I'm like, look, I'm just going to turn right, turn in a little. I don't want to block anybody.
Tuck in,
stop, and tell Mike to jump out at the light. And so I pull in, I stop, And I kind of realized, I hate all the locks and the doors and the fines. So I put it in park real fast because I know sometimes if it's in drive, person's fine. So I put it in park, and Mike's about to get out, and there's a big old honk on the back door. In the back of the car, big honk. And I look in the rear view, and as luck would have it, a construction guy driving a construction truck is wanting to turn into
what
that street.
It's blocking him.
Not very good in that exact moment, but he stops. So he honks, and I do the, okay. And I go to give it gas, but I realize, I'm in park.
Sure.
So then I'm like, now I'm in park.
But he's just laying on the horn.
You're and revving. I'm like, Mike, just jump out. And Mike jumps out, and this guy just swings out around us, jumps out of the car, starts coming at us, like waving hands. I mean, first off, we held him up all of 12 seconds, maybe.
So he was slightly delayed.
Slightly delayed.
Turn.
And on the clock, as Chris kept pointing out. And also, like, nobody who's turning in there could ever think that someone would be behind. It's not a thoroughfare. Like, it's a dead end. It's just
you
there.
You either made some sort of mistake or you're moving quickly.
Yeah, you're just. And by the way, there's context. Our guy's getting out of the car. We're getting someone out of the car.
Straight from the airport. How often does that happen? Where someone's like, where am I going? Let me check Waze. I don't want to do it safely.
On the horn, once he got on the horn, Mike just jumped out. We just pulled ahead real quick.
But
got out of his car.
Wow.
Out of the car.
Menacing.
Wearing the outfit. You know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where I could have went like, who do you work for? Like, what? Give me your badge number. Like, you threatened someone who came to the air. Like, you're getting out of your company truck and like threatening people, the weary travelers.
Quite the contrast to your reception just 12 hours earlier.
Yes.
On stage.
Quite a contrast in receptions from Nashville to L.A. Got out, not a big guy. I'm always surprised. I think from what I hear about Max Zapata and Mike, what I know about Mike and, you know, my training, I think we could have handled him quite easily.
My first thought was like, am I going to have to fight this guy?
Go for the knees.
For Adam's honor.
Oh, jeez.
He got out. He was, I don't know, what was he, 40, goatee?
Yeah.
Had a little Napoleon thing going for him.
Yeah, totally.
Axe to grind.
Seemed to be in good shape, ready to fight. I
played linebacker in high school in the late 90s.
It was, he was working, which was kind of weird. Like, I put it this way. I've seen many an LAX worker that, you know, holds the sign that says stop or yield, just sitting on their Coleman cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Just staring with those doll eyes.
You bring a chair.
Then no one seems to be in a particular hurry. We met the one guy who's working at LAX who's like, fucking, where's the fire?
Hey, you're wasting taxpayer money, bub. They're paying my salary. I'll be damned if I want to screw them.
I mean, we pulled up immediately. Mike jumps out. We pull up, and he's still out of the truck, turned back to us, throwing his arms around and like menacing us.
Ironically, is he not blocking traffic?
No, because he has pulled into the little enclave there to the right, just as we did. But as Brian brings, there must be 1,000 Uber drivers who are checking their ways who pull into that thing,
or
rental car people or whatever.
Well, we know August is just looking for a reason to beat some ass sometimes. So what happened?
Mike
needs bail.
Mike was completely oblivious. He jumped out. I saw his back in the rear view, and he was hightailing it for his car. So he left us to fend for ourselves. I had a momentary thought about getting out of the car just because it's something I would have done 10 years ago.
You're going, man show.
But I was so fucking sleep deprived.
Yeah.
It seemed like such a waste of time.
Wow.
So we just moved on. But I've not seen that short a fuse. And it wasn't a thing where like we bumped him or I made fun of his old lady or anything. It was just, we're just trying to turn in and let somebody out on the corner. It was essentially like, it was like you're turning right, and instead of turning right and going ahead 100 feet and stopping, you turn right and go hop out.
Right.
Like we're at the corner. Right, yeah. You can get out here.
Adam, I when I got my speeding ticket, I recently just finished traffic school, online traffic school.
Mazel tov.
Huge portion of it was dedicated to road rage.
Like, oh, really?
A weirdly large portion dedicated
to it. It was targeted, Chris.
Yeah, it might have been, but I just picked a random school.
Last week when I was on my way here, I did end up calling that dude's company since his license number and all that shit was on the door.
Right.
So So if you want to hand me the hand this over to me, I'll take care of it after the show.
The mode.
Seriously. Oh, here's your boxes, by the way.
Yes.
Can I open them?
You tell us what is in each.
There's one ground and one.
What are they? There's
bistro
the bistro
and market.
Oh, yeah, God. So that's her going, what do you guys want, the bistro or the market? And we're like, I have not memorized the contents of your boxes.
Okay.
You should probably see that one coming,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course.
You
know?
By the way, they don't have paper menus or anything anymore. Like, you can't look at stuff.
Because they're around it all day. To them, it's like, oh, this is just something everyone knows.
Yeah, it's white noise. So far, I think I was pretty much on the money. Let's try the bistro first.
Speaking of white noise, the gal, the Atlanta-based flight crew, was calling it a charcuterie.
Charcuterie? Oh.
I feel like
that.
Another flight attendant. I don't know. I don't think it's a hate crime to tap that person on the shoulder after she said times 30 flights, you know, like, charcuterie. Yeah. We just call it charcuterie.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the
at least you call it beef and cheese.
Mm-hmm. This is the bistro.
All right.
Just like I said, a smoked Gouda spread.
Okay. Cheese product.
Weird fake cheese product.
Yep. A kind bar.
Hexagonal container.
A salted caramel granola bar.
Oh, kind.
Yeah.
Kind. Couple of Tic Tacs for your troubles. Two Oreos.
Honestly, when you're being processed into a prison facility, is there a toothbrush in there? Because I just feel like I got to take a delousing shower before I get into that thing. Like, I feel like this is what they hand you with your pajamas when they're taking your shoes away when you're being processed.
Yeah. And thus stops the recognizable brand names.
Yes.
We have an old Wisconsin snack stick, which is a beef jerky.
Piece of meat.
We have a Deep River potato chips.
And I'll tell you the worst too is you go, it's a 4.5 hour flight. And you go, I'm not eating any of that shit. All empty carbs.
Cheese and the meat.
It's hardly cheese and meat.
Couple of cocktails, 3 hours later, fuck it, give me those chips.
Chips of oil.
Right.
The Albanese Ultimate Gummy Bears with 8 flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And the Partners Slow-Baked Crackers. I think I was on the money.
Mm-hmm. I will say that while that stuff is mostly crap, at least there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
You get a lot of your money.
Here's the market bag. Pacific Gold Beef Jerky.
That's the one Mike
got into. Sea salt almonds.
Yeah.
A keto situation.
Sea salt veggie chips, which are a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lie. But at least they're trying.
Oh, yeah. The Minis, which is like a egg white almond cashew bar. A Ghirardelli piece of chocolate. And apples and bananas fruit bar.
Yeah. Mm. You know, the thing about it's funny when after you talk to Vinny.
So that's the healthy.
And you start getting into Vinny and they go, this bar is just bananas and strawberries and nothing else. Yeah. And they're like, that's bad.
That's not good.
That's a lot of bananas and strawberries.
Not good. All right. Let's see. We got a call here. Phil, 49, San Diego.
Hey, Ace Man, Gina Bolt, how you doing? Hey.
Good. You got some rich man, poor man.
I do. I've got a couple. I'll throw them out there, and when they get boring, you can tell me to quit.
All right.
My first one is, your dad is a professional athlete.
Oh, so
you're the kid he knows about or the kid he doesn't know about.
That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
All right. On that same note, a basketball player has fallen into your lap during a game. So your Spike Lee or your Pookie down at the city court.
Oh, like court side of the streets.
Court side.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
Thinker.
How about performing a medical procedure on a family member? Ooh. So you're doing a nip tuck on your sister-in-law because you're a plastic surgeon, or you pulled your kid's wisdom teeth out with a pair of pliers.
It's good. It's good.
All right. Your casket is taken to the graveyard by a horse and carriage.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. A killer.
You're that's Amish good. Or you're royalty. You're 110 right. years old.
Right.
Yeah, you're Kennedy or you're Amish.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't know how to use Ring doorbell. So either
the help does it.
Yeah, I don't think Trump knows how to use a Ring doorbell, and probably the guy living down in the tent down the street doesn't either.
Right.
Sure. Probably has one by now.
Constantly ask strangers for money. So I feel like there's a lot of homeless that ask for money, but so does celebrities asking for their charity calls.
And the guys that run the mega churches and that kind of stuff, too. Yeah.
The strangers make it, because everyone asks their family, family for money or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is... Phil, are we... How many more do we have?
I could do maybe four more if you want.
All right.
Being escorted by the police.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to your concert because you're performing, or you're being told to leave because the store's closed and sure. you can't stay here.
Right.
Good. Well,
you tear down and rebuild your house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like so you
you're
physically.
You're a rich guy who just tore the house down and rebuilt it, or you're...
Yeah,
you're a little
shack downtown that you're just underpass.
Let's bring it home.
Okay. Is that it? All right, thanks, man.
That was really good.
There were some good ones in there.
The horse-drawn carriage was great.
I like that, yeah.
And listen, what people need to know about jokes and comedy, take from a guy who wrote 700,000 jokes for the Oscars and got 2.5 of them on the air, that's a good batting average.
Right.
Like,
that's that 300.
If you get two of them that work, so be it. San Antonio, Carmelo. Don't we know Carmelo?
Yeah, I'm talking to him a lot lately.
Carmelo?
Oh, what's up, Ace? Yeah, sorry, dude. I had to call in. I called in about the runaway from the pussy story last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saving this one for you. So I'm an electrician. I work on a big job down here in San Antonio. I've been on this construction site for going on 3 years.
Wow.
And it's a big one. It's like, I don't want to name too much, but it's a huge corporation that worldwide. You can't say too much about them. And they're all about the woke shit. So, Lord and behold, about a week after last year's, Labor Day weekend, right? It was last year, Labor Day weekend, the whole, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not Labor Day weekend, I'm sorry, Memorial Day weekend. They had, like, this kind of whole thing that you kind of come in here, and, you know, the whole George Floyd thing happened, and, you know, me and my buddies talk about it, but it's kind of like, oh, I mean, that's a fucking world away from us, you know what I mean? Like, Minneapolis, it's way the fuck up there, what do we give a shit? Well, a week later... You know, they
sound
come
like
down
Gruden
and
now.
Every morning we have to meet up in this big tent, you know, the whole job site. It's one big safety meeting in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go over, hey, what we're doing today, all this other shit. Well, then they bring up, you know, all right, well, we want to talk about race and we don't discriminate. And, you know, they gave some bullshit, you know, anti-racist quote from that Ibermix candy guy on how to be an anti-racist. No, and they didn't know what the fuck they were reading. They just read off of a fucking email, you know,
well,
these safety guys.
Listen,
you know, Adam, I tell you, the most incompetent people on the fucking job site are the fucking safety people. My God.
Well,
these people.
Because they don't possess a skill. That's
no,
number
exactly.
one. But number
My
two,
line,
it's not like your company gives a shit. Everyone is just required by law with the memo and security and
right.
insurance and everyone. So, it's all liability. So everyone has to go through the motions.
Right. Whether it came down from the general contractor or the customer, I'm not sure of. More than likely both, because they're one's worldwide, one's nationwide. But, you know, usually I've seen the videos on this. You know, you've got the one with that fat lady in the green romper or whatever she was wearing, you know, telling Whitey how he's inherently evil and he just can't help but hate people that aren't white, you know, and this and that. And I was kind of hoping for that. I was getting ready to, you know, laugh my ass off. And they kind of gave a speech to everybody. Then, you know, I'm a foreman, so they said, okay, all foremen come up here. You know, we're going to talk about what's going on, and, you know, we're going to address this.
Is it role-playing?
We want you,
How
so they
long,
go, we want you guys to address all your crews, you know, address them. This is not going to be a comfortable topic. You know, we're going to talk about race. And here I am thinking, you know, Adam, you might be able to take a good guess on this. What would you, if you're a betting man, say the demographic is on a construction site in South Texas?
Well, I'd
you know
say
I mean?
It's almost all Hispanic. I would say,
exactly.
Well, it's always, as I like to say, every construction site I've been on is 15 Mexicans and 3 white guys named Mike. That's basically
right.
how it works. We're telling the Mexicans what to do.
Mm.
It's now when you go to, when you travel, you go to Georgia and stuff, you see like black crews, but you, out here and probably in your neck of the woods,
South Texas.
Probably all Hispanic, right?
Right, and that stands true. And granted, you're seeing a little bit more diversity on the job site. Like, more, I'd say, as far as women go. You know what I mean? Like, you're actually seeing a little bit more women out in the skilled trades with, like, the brazers, welders, electricians. You know what I mean?
All right, Carmelo,
anyway,
we have a real guest waiting to come on this show. How the hell? Named you Carmelo?
So, I'm sorry, what was that, Ace?
Carmelo. How did you get that name?
It's apparently my grandpa changed it. I don't really know much about my grandpa. My family legacy, unfortunately, probably starts with my dad. Remember, my grandpa's the drunk janitor with the government cheese and
right.
all that.
Oh,
you
that's
really
right.
I don't know much about it.
That's
he
right.
Talk
so he
much.
Picked
all right, hang on, Carmelo. All right, listen. We got a big guest out there. He's here. We're going to bring him in, talk rock and roll. Mm. I just don't have time for Carmelo. Although,
There was an electrician's convention going on in our hotel.
So sneak into that?
Got to talk a little shop with a little Romex versus EMT tubing with some of those guys. All right. Let's see. Let me check my list. So Chris Shiflett is coming in. A guitar player, Foo Fighters, and in other bands, and plays a lot of his own music and all that. So good guy. He's been on the show a few times. We can talk some Foo Fighters. Now, I'm looking here. So the Foo Fighters are going to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame later this month?
Yeah.
So does that mean Dave Grohl's in two bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Wow.
That does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to... Wow. We
pretty
could
badass.
All probably try to figure out who... It's got to be...
I mean, Neil Young's probably in there as a solo artist and probably CSNY.
That
right?
makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul McCartney.
It's got to be a few of those. Yeah. And yeah, maybe
well,
David
Beatles,
Crosby.
I imagine Bro, all yeah. individual artists.
All right, really. It's no big deal. Chris, sorry.
Come on in.
We're going to keep talking about food.
Yeah, all three members of Crosby, Stills, and Nash have been inducted twice.
And... we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So the graduating, the class I have, are these are all the people that are getting in on my list, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into that and other things. First, there's a Geico. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your automotive policy. Save a whole bunch of money. And speaking of auto, I got a little road story for you. Dawson just... fresh off his trip to the Bay Area with thoughts.
Yeah, I drive fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I made it from Concord, California to North Hollywood, California. 537 miles, supposed to be, 5 hours and 40 minutes, 6 hours, depending on how many times you got to stop for gas.
Is it 540 miles?
537.
I think it's got
300.
Be.
Sorry,
oh,
357.
Both ways?
I got dyslexic. 357.
Okay,
not 537.
Still a long way. Got it.
All right,
my bad. And I did it in 4 hours and 22 minutes.
That's cooking.
Oh, 2 minutes off 420.
My,
yeah, I know.
My truck has the display where you can
yeah,
see
you
your average speed.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted
race
to see
it.
If I could get that up
yeah.
as high as I could get that up. Averaged 89 miles per hour.
Wow.
Mazel tov in that big giant truck.
Had a good stretch where I was doing about 110.
Mm-hmm.
You got a radar detector?
No. I just got eyes. I know the five.
Jesus. All right.
Jesus, take the wheel.
and a couple of times I like to give people a chance. If they can see that I'm coming up on them and they're, I'm in the right lane to pass, they're going to move over. Mm. I like to give them a chance, but I'm not waiting for you.
Yeah.
If you're not making that move, I'm throwing my blinker on. I'm giving you plenty of room to let you know that I'm getting around you. Do not stand in my way. Well, I do get behind this one guy in one of those big sprinter vans, sprinter camper vans, and we're passing a semi. So, I let the guy have his thing. As we're going, he's not moving over. He's not moving over. There's plenty of room to let me go by. He saw me come up fast behind him. Okay, turn on my blinker, leave it on for a couple seconds, go to make my move. As soon as I go to make my move, dude throws on his blinker and starts trying to get into my lane.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. I got my foot on the pedal. I fly right by him. Look back in my rear view mirror, and of course, the full finger comes out. No knuckles. No
wow.
knuckles. The
Max
full
extension.
Finger.
Full finger.
And I just kind of shake my head. I do not have a problem with road rage. I get out of the way. You want to be angry? Be angry. I'm not traffic. I'm driving, getting out of the
when
way.
When I'm on the freeway and someone's hauling ass, I appreciate
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, go Jim to
bro.
Fucking town. Yeah. And by the way, be the rabbit. Because if
exactly.
the bus is out
yep.
here, you go, I'll tuck in behind you, and you'll
you.
Be
yeah.
the one that's getting pulled over.
On the way down, I noticed I had about 4 cars behind me who were letting me be the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And, at one point, you always got to check. Does someone else want to take the lead? Yeah. You got 2 open lanes. I'm moving over to the right. Someone wants to make that power move, go ahead and go for it. No, they all tuck in behind me. We're going to follow you.
They
dude.
Deferred.
It's a very communal experience when
we
you think about it.
We got to raise the speed limit in certain parts of
Indeed.
this
110.
State because
110 is safe.
your car, modern cars are so safe at that speed versus what we're used to growing up. All right. Well, I want to thank Geico for sponsoring that segment. And you can get your bundle going at geico.com. All right. Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters, lead guitar player. Foo Fighters going to come in. And we'll talk rock and roll and beyond right after this.